Hello and welcome back to the Chris Yeh podcast, or as we should probably call it, the Chris Yeh and Ken Franklin Mental Samurai podcast, because so much of the content has been Mental Samurai recaps. I am
tell you what, I finally get some billing on this show. I don't know.
And of course, you just heard the voice of my partner in crime, the czar of the Mental Samurai Telestrator, Dr. Ken Franklin, who has returned with me and been very patient because I was actually gone last week. I was in Monaco the entire week, which is why we're actually recording this episode on Monday, July 5th, the day before the very next episode of Mental Samurai.
Yeah, you know, as far as excuses go, gee, I was stuck in Monaco for almost a week. Ranks pretty high up there, Chris. I guess we'll have to give you that one.
It is really interesting. So Monaco, and we'll talk about this a little later on, Monaco is over in Europe, and it is 9 hours ahead of the west coast of California. So it is a severe jet lag situation. I went over there early, suffered through the jet lag, was able to perform at a conference. I was speaking at a conference for the Thursday and the Friday, and then I flew back across those 9 time zones. And
yeah,
that jet lag is a pain.
Those of you in the audience really can't see what we're doing here, but it is really a marvel of engineering that Chris has his earbuds in. He also has his head duct taped to the chair with small pieces of duct tape attached to his upper eyelids. It's unsettling, but it's certainly effective. He's staying conscious through all this.
You do what you have to do for the sake of the show, let me tell you. And I appreciate the medical advice that helped me make sure I had my eyelids fixed open.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really tough to sleep with your eyelids taped open, especially because you're anticipating that tape being ripped off. Yeah.
But it's important to note that the contestants on Mental Samurai Season 2 were in a similar position. Most of them come from Southern California. All of them actually, as we heard, flew from Southern California to New York to Portugal, so quite an odyssey along the way. And so they would have been exhausted. They would have been across many, many different time zones. They would have been tired, especially if they were shooting several of these, one or two of these episodes per day. So we got to remember that they're in a situation where they were in the middle of a pandemic, sleep deprived, operating at a time which would have been normally their 4 or 5 a.m. time here on the West Coast.
It really makes some of these rapid runs even more remarkable. So why don't we get into it?
Yeah, let's talk about our contestants. First up was Tony Mangione, a restaurant owner who told us that pressure is my friend. Now, with Tony's run, at first I was like saying, okay, you know, he's doing a pretty good job of talking it out. I feel like he's taking too long. We'll see whether that time becomes an issue. And obviously time didn't become an issue because he flamed out on question 3 because he didn't know what Black Friday was.
Yeah, a person who's in Southern California business who doesn't know what Black Friday, that the day after Thanksgiving is a busy day. Of course, in the restaurant business, you probably don't have a lot of traffic on Black Friday, but everybody else in the universe has got extra help on. So,
and I feel like that you've identified exactly what it is. He's in the restaurant business. I found him on LinkedIn. He's been in the restaurant business his entire career. As you heard, it was in his family. And so for him, the Friday after Thanksgiving is always one of the slowest days of the year. And he really focused in on this notion of you ate a lot of food on Thanksgiving, so you're going to take it easy the next day. And I just a sad thing. He locked in on one thought and overlook something that most of us know and is completely obvious.
Well, and it's a recurrent theme. It's either in your worldview or it isn't. And if it isn't, you can bang your head against it for 4 minutes and it's still not going to come to you.
Well, next up was Jennifer Jacobson Wood. Jennifer Jacobson Wood, it was a librarian. She was one of the contestants I like to put into the mature category. Now, I know, Ken, you're going to say she's a zygote. She was 48 mm-hmm. years old, but that is mm-hmm. still mature. And so, as we know, when we have these mature candidates, contestants, we always ask ourselves, okay, is there going to be some sort of pop cultural thing? Is there something that's going to trip them up? So that was, I was alert to that. And the other thing, remember we were talking before about not wanting to have, going across all these time zones and having sleep issues? She had dropped out of college five times because she did not like 8 a.m. classes, not a morning person.
Yeah, and as we pointed out, let's say she was doing this episode at 2 in the afternoon. That's 5 a.m. California time, so she's really not in her zone.
Exactly. And when she went through her run, I thought it was a little slow and methodical. You know, a lot of
Well,
talking, taking it slow.
first question, Gordon Ramsay took her 11 seconds. She did very well coming out of the gate. Three questions in 52 seconds. So she started off real well, but then she started to falter a little bit.
Yeah, and she eventually went out on question number seven, which was a classic sort of rebus question. What saying does this photograph represent? I don't know about you, Ken. I had it almost immediately. And then we just waited through the painful process of her trying to figure it out. And it was dog eat dog with a picture of this bulldog with a hot dog on a fork, and its tongue is it's licking its chops because it's eating this hot dog. And she got fixated on the details. She's like, well, the tongue is out and there's a hot dog. And this is the thing. You have to have the gestalt. It really tends not to be the details. It tends to be the plain and obvious answer.
Right, and you don't realize it because there isn't a lot of display of the time, but she had gotten six correct in 2 minutes and 13 seconds.
Which is a great pace.
And the show only showed her fiddling with this for about a minute and a half. But she actually took nearly 3 minutes and the rest of her 5 minute time on that one question, which had to be excruciating for her.
Absolutely. And obviously, I think they did a good job of editing it, so it didn't seem like they had edited it, but clearly they did. And presumably one of the reasons they did that was the struggle was just not entertaining for the audience,
No.
right?
Well, the struggle when I had my legendary chain smokers flame out was also, mercifully cut 45 seconds. So I'm grateful for the editors.
Well, the key is you're going to get cut unless it is just so entertaining for the audience. Like poor Frankie, there's a hall and there's oats. I don't know what's going on with this hall and these oats and just over
Or
forgiveness.
why is this elephant in the middle of a room?
Oh my goodness, such an
I apologize
insane
to our
pace.
audience. We're back reminiscing on season one. You can go back and look, or you can just comment on this episode and we'll fill you in with the links, and then you can call us geezers, and that would be just fine. You
Now
see,
the other
there is mature. And then there is geezer. I present the geezer standpoint here.
I'm getting there, Dr. Ken. I'm going to catch up with you soon.
I don't see how that's possible in the space-time continuum, but okay, we'll go with that.
We'll go ahead and get a DeLorean. We'll figure it out that way.
Not gonna, that's nice segue into a product plug, but we'll pass on that right now.
Just to remember, everyone, you can get your copy of Back to the Future, Dice Through Time, at stores everywhere, designed by Dr. Ken Franklin. All right. So the other thing I noticed about Jennifer Jacobson Wood is something that was a tiny detail that I then saw also with Jamal Williams, which is it looks like they provided the contestants who wear glasses with croakies. Did you notice that?
I still have the croakies that were provided to me when I was in Ava.
They didn't give me croakies.
That's because you're just not nice.
What on earth is going on here? They didn't give me croakies. Nobody asked me, are you worried? Can you put croakies on?
I have a delightful set of white and red croakies that are still in my shaving kit, hoping to be used again.
I tell you, now this is really painful because now I recognize that the show just didn't care enough to give me croakies, whereas they're giving everyone else croakies.
You probably ticked the producer off. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Wow. Amazing. A couple of other
Would
fun
you,
things. Yes.
Chris, would you like me to send you some croquis? It would be my honor to send you some croquis for your glasses.
Well, it's not so much that I really want to have croakies. It's just I feel a little left out. That's all. Maybe I'm
Hey,
being overly
you've
sensitive.
got your $100,000 to keep you warm.
Fair enough. It does help. All right. So a couple of other interesting facts about Jennifer Jacobson Wood. So she works for the Peoria Public Library. So a true librarian. She's worked for a number of libraries out there in Illinois. And she and her friend Mary Hosbro began a project before the pandemic to walk every single street in Peoria. So she and her friend Mary have been walking together. They've done marathons together, ultra marathons together. Again, always walking. And they cover something like 10 to 12 miles in a day. So these are power walkers. And there's actually a couple of news stories about them. So be sure to look them up.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, you're focused on others. Your outlook is going to be much more open. And that seemed to pay off for him here.
All right. Well, coming up next, we have Jamal Williams, who is a data analyst. I was able to look him up later. It turns out he is an analyst for the city of Long Beach. So another Southern California native, and a dad who has a young daughter named Hunter, whom he calls Pancake.
And I'm, you know, all sorts of disturbing images of accidental injuries around the house happen, but I'm sure none of them apply.
And now, I guess I mentioned earlier, he also had Black Crokies on. Again, the school, the show caring more about him than about me. Mm-hmm. But he had a good run, right?
He had a tremendous run.
Well, talk about his run.
Well, he used the deliberate strategy. We've talked about both ends, and he's calm but deliberate. Not a lot of repetition, but he was thinking each one through and talking it through. It took 48 seconds for his first two. Now, he did have the mirror image question, and he had the easiest mirror image question of the season so far, because on all three of the images, the words were different. Mm. And so it was just a matter of seeing if you could read the three words backwards. Greta Thunberg question I thought was quite easy. Yep. Again, he had another sequence that went quite well. I was thinking of you as he went through his gridlock. He did the Chris Yeh approach on the gridlock and got that quite well. And then he blew Rob Lowe's socks off when he got Ty Tan Nick in less than 5 seconds. That was very good. Now, he also had pointed out that he was afraid of geography.
Yes.
The whole thing was about geography. So what does he get on the 10th question? A geography sequence, and he nailed it. No big deal. So he got a rather slow 4 minute and 17 second run, but he still got the $10,000.
Well, as you know, it's better to get 10 out of 10 correctly and do it slowly than to get less than 10 out of 10 correct and do it quick.
Well, as long as it gets you to the end.
And the other thing I will note that I thought was pretty interesting, and this was really great sportsmanship, is that once he had surpassed Jennifer, she was rooting for him to go all the way, which I thought was a nice gesture of sportsmanship.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to cry on screen? I don't think so. I think enjoying the game, as I say, playing to grin is the best strategy.
Ken plays to grin. That's what you can do to find Dr. Ken online at Twitter, Instagram, and other places like that. Now, the other thing that I noticed at around this point was that the interviews were a lot longer than I was used to seeing in this show.
I picked up on that as well, and I thought that was a bit of foreshadowing. I said, you know, they're about the same time they usually are for an episode. Why are they taking so much longer on the chats? So let's move along and see what happened.
Exactly. That made me think flameouts ahead. And what happened next? Well, up comes Haley Hilton, a former aquatic mammal trainer who now works with special needs kids. And, you know, she seemed like she was promising to me because she was off to a good start. She was moving along at a pretty good speed, but she flamed out on question four. It's simply a matter of not having the knowledge. She did not know the name of the television show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Right. Well, and she also had a slip up on her first question. She gave the answer and then took 3 or 4 seconds to say, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to lock it in. And then there was also another first in the series. The bedroom was the first anagram scramble. Most of the other, all of the other scrambles had been nonsense words that made something. But in this particular case, it was from one anagram to another.
That was interesting. And I actually think that that made that one harder than the other ones because it's more difficult to get your mind off the existing word onto the new word.
Yes, I think it does make it a little harder, but she had no trouble with it.
She blazed through it without a problem. Now, again, the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, you're familiar with that show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's big hit for, I think it was Amazon Prime, if I'm not mistaken.
Amazon Prime, that is correct. Yeah. Big hit for Amazon Prime. A lot of Emmy winning was done, helped push through a breakthrough role for Rachel Brosnahan, the actress who plays the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Well, and it was also such a hit that it was mentioned numerous times on ads for the Amazon Prime service and primetime television. So anybody who's watched any primetime television is going to hear that title.
I guess we can assume that Haley Hilton is not an Amazon Prime Video customer.
Or either that, or not a regular broadcast television customer.
Which certainly could be the case. Well, that brings up the last pre-samurai contestant, Ryan Cohen, a mechatronics engineer. Now, I have looked Ryan up, and they did not say this, but Ryan has 2 degrees from my alma mater, Stanford University. His undergraduate degree in mechanical engineering and his master's degree in mechanical engineering. He earned his undergrad degree with a GPA of 4.11. So an outstanding academic performer.
This guy builds Avas for breakfast. I'm going to come back to Stanford after we talk about Ryan, but go ahead.
Yeah. Ryan also has done a lot of other interesting things in his career. He is currently not a practicing engineer. He is an analyst at McKinsey, the very famous management consulting company. But in addition, he's also the founder of the Golden Gate Science Olympiad, which is a STEM competition for high school students here in the Bay Area, underprivileged high school students. I mean, this is a guy where you just look at this and like, my God, this guy is so smart, so accomplished, so young. What is he not capable of? And I did remember thinking, gosh, you know, he's really young. Will he be able to get some of the geezer questions that you and I would get? Well, and we would see later on that absolutely he could.
Yeah, well, also, once again, the lead-in interview seemed to go a lot longer than average, which was along with what we were suspecting with kind of padding throughout the episode.
Yeah. We did also learn that Ava is a 5-axis industrial robot. Important information for the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, whatever. 1, 2, you know, 5 axes equals numerous chances to throw up.
So Ryan, right from the start, was very fast and confident. And I had a feeling he was going to have a good run. I will note a couple of things as he went along the way. He was very careful, for example, to say smallest to largest on one question, the question about the paper sizes, to make sure he got it right, which is always a good thing to do. He also used your technique, the memory technique of cramming in the items very quickly in sequence to cram in those 6 items. He did that successfully as well. It's like, there's the Ken Franklin technique right there. And then the geezer question, up comes this question, which is a scramble. And he looked at it for a second. He's like, Aretha Franklin. Of course, Aretha Franklin is the queen of soul, but not exactly, you know, somebody who's putting out a lot of music these days. And he clearly knew it.
Well, she, if I'm not mistaken, she recently passed, but she is a timeless a legend. And I'm very glad that he got it. Yeah, he did interrupt on 2 or 3 questions and was clearly paying attention to the clock as he was going through. And that resulted in a finishing time of 3 minutes and 38 seconds, which was 3 seconds faster than the previous record by Nick Santo.
Now, the interesting thing is that Ryan did interrupt a couple of times. He didn't always wait for the question to be finished reading.
Right.
But on one of the questions, one of the combo number questions, WD-40 and 23andMe, he did wait. It was a long read and it cost him time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, for those of you in the audience who will be on season 3, if you can read faster than Ava, it's okay to interrupt her. Just make sure you aren't jumping to a conclusion.
Exactly. But Ava just reads the words that are on the screen. So if you read all the words that are on the screen and you've got it, just go on ahead. So that's one of the key things. Block out the sound of the voice, focus just on the words on the screen. And if you're able to do that, you can answer a lot more quickly. You can answer well before Ava finishes the read.
And it gives you more thinking time also. If you're done reading, you can start thinking.
So Ryan did, as you said, 10 questions out of 10, $10,000, 338, an extremely fast time, which meant that Nick Santo was almost certainly going to have a record-breaking run in order to retain his championship belt. And he came in and he was extremely focused on speed. He was answering before the reads finished. He clearly understood that was something he could do to move faster.
That's right. And the Lion King, he was right in on it. He tripped up a bit on the magazine sequence, but again, got right back on it. He was making sure, looking to make sure that he got the sequence order correctly from earliest to latest. Now, he had a very challenging memory question.
Yes.
This is the first memory question I can remember that required some math. You know,
I thought it was impressive.
You had to remember a five-digit number. Now, the thing that would help him is it mentioned that the first number, 43,876, was double 21,938. So if you messed up a little bit and couldn't quite remember, having the cue of what the number of half was can help you get back at it. And he got it. And he nailed the gridlock.
Yeah. And by the way, on that question with the number, the memory question with the number, they had some options that were there to be deceptive. Ones which are sort of with a number dyslexia, instead of 43.8, it was 48.3. Would have been very easy to get it wrong if you didn't have that second fact to check it against.
That's exactly right. I'm sorry, I misspoke. It was a crossword instead of a gridlock was his last question.
That's right. Now the last question, which the tenth question, which was funny, is the question of what does the A in scuba stand for? Fortunately for him, it was a true false 50-50 question. Does the A in scuba stands for air? Now, Ken, I don't know how you know the abbreviation scuba, but I can tell you how I know it.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
So the
I was a military surgeon, so I had to advise soldiers on the health aspects of their equipment.
Well, the reason I know it is because in the classic television show from the 1980s, Family Ties, there is an episode in which Alex Keaton needs one more person to fill in on his quiz team. And so he gets his sister, Mallory Keaton, onto the quiz team. And Mallory Keaton, of course, not noted as a brain on that show. And he's drilling her and he's despairing that she'll ever remember anything. And then finally she remembers self-controlled underwater breathing apparatus. And they repeat that phrase about 10 times. It was burned into my head forever. As a side note, what happens in the episode is that when the college quiz thing starts, Alex P. Keaton gets stage fright and cannot answer any questions. And Mallory has to actually answer the questions, and they just narrowly lose at the very end.
I actually learned about scuba, although I didn't remember it from this, from the classic Lloyd Bridges black and white show Sea Hunt from the early 1960s.
Absolutely. A great, great television show. Didn't he have his boys on the show with him?
Yes, he did. And that was when they were just kids. Oh, and this is the point where I point out that, yes, this is why I renew my geezer card, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I remembered that as well, although admittedly, I was probably remembering it not from watching it in person since I was born after the show went off the air.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Chris. That young man.
Just giving credit where credit is due.
But
so anyways, Nick guessed and
he knew
got
he
it
had
right.
To guess. He knew he had to guess to win because the clock was running, and it succeeded and get him a 3-minute 26-second run, which I think is going to be hard to beat for the rest of the season.
It was the all-time best, and that meant he was on to the Circle of Samurai, which, you know, he recognized he had really flubbed last time out. Last time, he really had gotten in his own head. He was overthinking it, and he was sort of off his game, and as a result, he really didn't do that well. this time I was like, no, I'm going to be totally focused. And what happened?
He didn't realize which tower he was at. You know, Ava put him at the sequence tower and he gave a single answer, which would be something from the knowledge tower. And I think he surprised himself. And now we know exactly why the episode was padded for as long as it was, because the Circle of Samurai run lasted about 16 seconds. Again, I felt really bad for the guy. You could see him blush after he gave the answer. And then I just had to think back to things we talked about at the top of the show. They're exhausted, they're jet lagged, they're in the middle of a pandemic where they have no idea what their family's going through back home. A remarkably stressful situation, even on top of what Ava's putting them through.
And Nick, let's be clear, Nick is an amazing competitor, right?
Absolutely.
Owner of several of the fastest runs, just a phenomenal competitor, really great technique as well as knowledge, right? Having the savvy to answer before the reads finish and never going back and repeating and doing all those things that people do to waste time. Just a phenomenal competitor, yet just has not been able to get it done on the Circle of Samurai.
I'm going to be especially mindful of what he's going to be looking like next episode. Because although to us it's a week and we've had a chance to forget, he's had probably overnight to ruminate on this epic on-screen crash. And I certainly hope he doesn't let it get in his head even worse.
I think that he will come back strong in tomorrow's episode and continue to do well. Again, no guarantees of winning, because the way I think about it is, you know, it just takes one question to trip you up. He's been able to do very well on his initial runs, but in the Circle of Samurai, he has been tripped up by some things that, you know, again, we would think would be relatively easy. So I think it's hard to predict, but
right.
I still think he's going to be a strong competitor.
Well, I certainly hope so. And that gets us back to Stanford.
Yes.
You went to Stanford. What was your did you graduate?
So I am Stanford class of 1994. I have degrees in product design engineering and also in creative writing. So I have one engineering degree and one English degree.
Well, I actually went to college in 1973, and I went on an ROTC scholarship. And as a coincidence, there were only two schools that offered ROTC. One was Michigan State, where I ended up attending, and the other was Stanford. And Stanford, obviously a fantastic school, but it was 1973 and we were still in the Vietnam War. And ROTC cadets in uniform were not popular in Southern California, which is why I ended up going to Michigan State. But I still have a warm spot in my heart for Stanford, because I did get a very wonderful interview and a great acceptance from them.
Well, it is certainly true that there were some issues during the 1970s, like you described. There were various sit-ins and other things like that. And it's not quite unfortunate. As you know, this country had to go through a whole reevaluation. Even if we think about the late 1970s and the 1980s, thinking about the Vietnam conflict and how the treatment of veterans, I like to think we've gotten to a better place ultimately.
Oh, I think so.
Certainly, it was a big issue at the time.
Yeah. We've learned a lot, and I think we've proven that we can learn, and I'm starting to see signs of hope that we can learn as we move forward after the pandemic and after the last 4 years of verbal cutthroat politics. So we can grow up as people, I think.
And again, Ken, I think that I derive a little bit of inspiration every day from the little bits of Dr. Ken Wisdom that I do get to see. I always appreciate, I think that you and I are committed to trying to see the best in people, trying to set a good example for others, and the belief that we can be better. We can listen to the better angels of our nature.
Yeah, I really have not met anybody irredeemable that God has created. And since, you know, he's got that record, he's a little smarter than me, I'll defer to his judgment.
I think that's quite wise. And I do enjoy every single one of the Jesus Getting Coffee with Jesus cartoons that you post. I enjoy those immensely.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Chris. And anybody who else wants to read more about it, I will unabashedly put in another product placement. You can on Amazon and Audible read my book that my wife asked me to write called Spit Out the Apple, a book about devotions and a way of looking at faith that's not just a religion.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you, Dr. Ken, are one of the best advertisements for your faith that could ever exist. Somebody
Thank
who
you.
Just in every element of his life and the way he lives embodies the values and principles that he really holds dear. And I'm very proud to be able to do this with you. So
well,
thank you
thank you,
once
Chris.
Again.
The feeling goes both ways. I'm in complete admiration of the things you've accomplished and taking your winnings on Mental Samurai plus your expertise and turning it into something that's truly making changes for the better. So I bet I have an idea.
Yes.
Why don't we get a good night's sleep?
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow we can watch a show. And then a couple days later this week, let's do this again.
That sounds like a good plan, Dr. Ken. I think we should adopt that.
All right.
And I think that that's, you know, if there's any lesson you guys can take away from today's episode, it's get enough sleep, because
absolutely,
if you don't get enough sleep, your judgment is going to be impaired. You might flame out on your very first question.
Neurons need to be detoxed and cleaned in order to work well.
Well, Dr. Ken, thank you once again for making time, especially on a holiday Monday, to record this episode. On behalf of the amazing Dr. Ken, whom you can find online at Ken Plays to Grin just about anywhere, I am Chris Yeh, and we hope to hear from you shortly and be talking with you again soon.